This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay-ass accent, them cheap-ass cigars, your yuck-mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Welcome to the Click Nation Podcast. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G, not single G, from Dateline NBC. And tonight, I'm joined by my brother, D. Adam Black.
Greetings and salutations, true believers.
And we also have Mr. Bamf.
Evening, bitches.
And for now, it's going to be the three of us because we... Our special correspondent, Brandy, will be joining us in a minute to give us the up-to-date news on the reality check, which is going to be our reality TV segment. And the other Click Nation member, Leroy Jetstream, will be hopefully joining us as soon as he's done setting his computer up at his father's house.
Yay!
So, fellas, let me ask how the week treated everyone.
It was good, man. Everyone's starting to come down with a cold. Well, my wife got a cold Sunday, so she wasn't feeling too hot. But otherwise, the weekend was decent. Didn't get into too much trouble.
What about for you, Bamf?
The same. Same old, same old. Just working, tripping out, making fun of people. It's usual shit I do.
Tripping on bass salt.
No. I ain't that deep with it yet.
Just give you time.
Give me time. You know, I'll be running around butt-ass naked, eating homeless dudes' faces in no time.
And this recording is taking place on Tuesday, June 26th. And like I said before, thank you for joining us for the Click Nation podcast. We have a website, of course, theclicknation.com. Make sure to go there to check out... any past episodes of the podcast, which can also be found on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We also have a Twitter account that you can follow at The Click Nation. We have a Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. We have a Google Plus page. Just search for The Click Nation. And, of course, email in case you ever want to send us some feedback or comments. Our email address is theclicknation@gmail.com. And speaking of email, we actually have some to read this week, which,
yay,
if you guys will help remind me, I'll read at the end of the show.
I will try to remember that, sir. Yes.
And also going to try to – we'll read email comments and also try to go back through the Twitter stream and read some of the tweets that people have sent to us from the past week. Oh, and also, since I'm plug our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at Tim DOGG98.
I am at @the_Adam_Black on Twitter.
And myself, I am at Mr. Bamf. That's MISTABAMF. And if you're lucky, you actually might get my tweet of the week. I actually might tweet you back, and you'd be my only tweet for that particular week.
Aw, snap.
It's a big ass deal, people. Big ass deal.
So there you go. And Leroy Jetstream's Twitter is Leroy_Jetstream. And Brandy, whenever she joins us, hers is BLR_Productions, which is the name of her her own startup company that she started. She does graphic design work, and she does a little web designing also. So make sure to hit her up. Her website, where you can, I believe, see some of her portfolio, is imsopure.com. And she has a Facebook fan page, which she'll tell everyone about when she joins the show later. So, with all that out of the way, we're going to go into a little bit of news. This section of the Click Nation podcast is brought to you by The Adam Black.
All right. We have a lot to talk about. You know, a lot of it's just little quick hitter, you know, hit and miss, talk about, discuss. One thing we didn't discuss last week was Arsenio Hall is returning to late night TV. I don't have a link for it, but it is CBS, right? Or is it?
It's CBS. Yes, it's CBS.
All right.
I don't know how they're going to do it. The time slot is 11 o'clock, which is kind of problematic because most news channels, local stations, news shows come on at 11 o'clock. So I don't know how they're going to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that either. As far as I know, pretty much just about every CBS station has a news, local news. So
yeah,
that would be problematic. But good to see Arsenio back on TV.
I'll watch it. I will watch it.
So he would be taking, I guess he'd come on after David Letterman?
No. David Letterman comes on at 11:30.
Oh, so yeah. He'd come on before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're talking about 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So...
Because I know they ain't going to push David Letterman back to 12. At least I don't think they would.
He'd come on at 11 then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say they're trying to cut into their primetime television. But
nah.
Yeah, if it starts at 11.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
All right. But, yeah, good to see Arsenio back on TV. This is something that, since we talked about it in one of our earlier shows – Need for Speed, the movie, has officially been announced for the year 2014. It's coming out from DreamWorks, and they're teaming up with EA Games to bring us a big screen adaptation of the hit video game franchise. As previously rumored, Act of Valor director Scott Wahl, W-A-U-G-H, will direct the feature film adaptation from a story developed by brothers George and John Gaddins, Real Steel. The movie won't be based on any individual game, but it'll be a fast-paced, high-octane movie rooted in the tradition of the great car culture films of the 70s, while being extremely faithful to the spirit of the video game franchise. So.
That sounds like a bunch of bullshit, but okay.
Yeah, I haven't really been in the gaming world lately, but I didn't even know if the Need for Speed games had a storyline involved with them.
Some of the later ones, like it's on the top of my damn head. Anywho, some of the later ones that you were essentially like an illegal car racer guy, and you won, did races like Hot Pursuit. You run races, money to beef up the car, and add new stuff to it, buy new cars and shit like that, and you get chased by the police. Mm-hmm. That's really about it. So.
Oh, okay.
But Hot Pursuit was essentially Fast and Furious without the drug running.
I was gonna say everyone wants to have their Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah.
And who thought when that original one came out that it would end up being a franchise?
Yeah, we never thought that you know, we just thought it was a good one-off movie.
Yeah, we were sitting there making jokes at Ja Rule being in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, I like the first Fast and Furious, you know, hell, that's an ideal for a show. Just review that franchise.
Oh, ideas for shows. Oh.
Idea for a show, boy. That's how we do it, live and in person, damn it.
Let me jot that down.
Yeah. But, yep, Need for Speed coming in, from DreamWorks in the year 2014. Marvel and the next news story we have, Marvel is developing a new Iron Man animated series. Of course, Marvel's trying to capitalize on the success of the Avengers. They're not only developing the new Avengers Assemble TV series to replace Earth's Mightiest Heroes, but they're also developing a new Iron Man animated series. The news comes from the president of Disney Channels, Gary Marsh, who let it slip in a statement to The Hollywood Reporter when asked if he was looking into more Avengers series. He mentioned, of course, they launched Marvel Universe on Disney XT along with Ultimate Spider-Man, and they had been developing the new Avengers Assemble before that. And of course, they talked about the Hulk series and, you know, Iron Man, and then he let it slip there that, you know, they're talking about Iron Man series.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
So, what?
Oh, I thought my Skype died again. Y'all heard me about the rant?
Yeah, I was like, oh, well, dang.
Right.
I didn't know. Right. I didn't know.
Right. I know, right? I was like, I was like, why is everybody quiet? And then you start yelling. Oh, shit.
Okay, so it wasn't me that just went silent.
No, oh, so you didn't hear any of that?
I heard up to a point.
Yeah, I heard, and then after you stopped talking, it just got quiet.
Well, it sounded like then my Skype starts spinning the wheel. I got the balloon on the Mac, which is like the hourglass window system. I was about to start flipping this machine over.
And I was like, damn, this nigga must love some fucking Iron Man.
Iron Man! For those who don't know, we had some issues with the last week's podcast where Skype crashed on me twice.
That was funny. Please, please, we must keep that in.
Oh, yeah, I'm keeping that in there.
That's so funny.
I was like,
you gotta be kidding me.
So what else?
Oh, shit. What else?
Yeah, what is going on with Iron Man? New show?
Well, they were just talking about their in development, and there's a chance they'll probably wind up replacing Iron Man Armored Adventures. We can only guess, because that's the only Iron Man series out right now.
Does that even come on? That doesn't come on Disney, does it?
That comes on Nicktoons.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's going to get canceled, because it's not on a Marvel network.
It's not on a Disney channel.
I read something about that earlier this week. It makes sense. I mean, they're gonna have the Hulk has an animated show coming out, the Avengers Assemble, like you mentioned earlier, and all they're missing is Iron Man and a Thor show.
Yeah. Well, Captain America.
Oh yeah, Cap.
Yeah, but I thought they all get shows. I mean, shit.
Yeah, oversaturated. It really will be Marvel. Marvel Universe on Disney XD.
Yeah. You know, especially if they go through and do like Black Widow Adventures along with Hawkeye, you know, Hits the Mark.
Agent Coulson. The Misadventures of Agent Coulson.
Yeah.
What they need to do is introduce a new X-Men animated show.
Yeah, I was just about to say they need to bring out a new X-Men you know, animated show.
No, it is Marvel Universe, so they can have more stuff than just
Avengers cartoons.
Yeah, Avengers products.
Yeah. And, of course, Spider-Man, but those are the movies that are out right now. You know, as long as I don't see a Ghost Rider the animated series.
Woo!
No. You know, The Johnny Blaze version, I'm sorry, is just not a version that is adaptable for any property.
Johnny Blaze. And we're joined by our reality correspondent, Miss Brandy.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's happening?
Chilling.
You ready to get into some reality check?
I am.
Please fill us in on what has gone on in the world of reality TV.
First off, did any of y'all tune in this week?
For Love and Hip Hop at ATL?
Of course not.
I looked at it earlier today.
Good. So Monday nights is officially, I have coined it as VH1's Ratchet Monday.
I love it.
If you watched a little bit of it, then you know what I'm talking about. Let's see. The lineup last night was Love & Hip Hop ATL, Single Ladies, and Hollywood Exes.
Hollywood Exes started Wednesday.
Oh, last Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Well, yesterday was like a preview of episode to get everybody hooked. But yeah, you're right. It officially airs on Wednesday. It's not Monday.
Okay.
Let's see. I guess the theme for this week, or my little tagline, is really pimp, pimp, hooray for Stevie J.
Wow. There is a reason for the pimp, pimp.
Part. Yeah. I mean, last week, I really felt like Stevie, like, y'all know how I felt about him. Like, who the hell is he? He's like a lame. Like, that's just so whack. Well, this week, he proves that he's, like, pimping these hoes, and...
Nationwide.
It's, like, so sad, because he's not even doing the most, but, hey, he gets the belt on this one. This week, he, like, tried to wine and dine his baby mama, Mimi, to get back in her good graces, since she literally caught him, like, out with the sideline hoe. So... I mean, he's trying to, like, really smooth talk her and be like, he showed up to her job. It was like, you know, why are you so upset? You avoided me. You ignored me. What's going on with this? So she held true to her, like, I'm a bad bitch right now. So she was giving him a little hard time. She even asked him to confess that he's having sex with this girl. Of course, he said no. She came out and said, I don't believe you. He laughs and gives her a little smirk and was like, baby, what you doing after work? Like, really?
He just rolled off his shoulders.
Yeah. Stevie J ain't doing that, man. I don't have no respect for Mimi, man. Mimi weak.
See, exactly.
Weak, I say. She is weak. She got mind control on her like Debo.
But then he tries to take her out for dinner, and she slapped him with some contract because she wanted like 20% of the profits he was making with his like studio pieces. And so he looks at her like, damn, I gotta work a little harder.
Now he offered her 5, right? Or no, 10 originally.
Yeah, that's all he always offered was 10.
Yeah.
But does she have any type of music background?
She got money. No, she been with him and got money.
She runs.
That don't matter, nigga. musical talent does not matter. Look at Sean Puffy Combs. Look at this shit.
True.
And that was his, that's funny. That was his argument because he was looking at her like, "What the hell? Like, that's what I was paying Diddy. Like, you can't come off asking for 20%." So she's got like the game face on. Like, that's my number. Take it or leave it. Like, she really gonna go somewhere. So. To make her feel better, he gets up and, while they're in a restaurant, he goes to the piano and serenades her.
Oh man.
Yeah, I missed that part.
Oh, man. My wife was watching it, and she said, if that girl starts crying right now, I'm going to turn this crap off right this second.
You should turn it on off, then.
Did the tears start flowing?
No, so she didn't really cry. But go
ahead. She didn't cry, but oh, Stevie was all in her good graces. Like, she literally was like, this is why I love this man. Of all the things he do, he makes me smile. This is why I love him. Like, what happened to the main reason why you was mad at him for the first place? Like, I didn't understand that. But the look on his face was like bam, I got her. I was like, alrighty. Then you take him to the studio, and the side piece, Jocelyn, she confronts him with a positive pregnancy test. And, like, yeah, Jose.
What was funniest thing to me was all the different camera angles they had of her sitting in the bathroom stall contemplating, looking over this birth control stick.
Yeah, she really, it looked like a scene from
Tuan Fu. Look,
the half man, half woman was breaking out her acting skills.
I know, right? You know what I'm saying? That shit looked like Nakajima Jones from Tuan Fu for real.
Exactly.
She looked like Wesley Snipes and drag. Stop lying, bitch. You know you got your damn home girl to piss on that for you. You know you a man.
Exactly. So I'm just like, wow.
You know what makes that worse, though, is how Stevie J go on ahead and tell her on the sly to get an abortion, like on the sly, like, hey, well, you know, we got stuff to do, and, you know, we're going to be doing photo shoots, and, you know, we got to take care of that. You know, we got to take care of that.
Take care of that.
Photo shoots, we got to take care of that. Can't have you, running around here and throwing up, so we got to take care of that. You know what I'm saying? We got to take care of that.
That's why today's theme is Pimp Pimp Parade for Stevie J. Like, he literally was, like, pissed off. He went off, but not because of the news breaking out and that messing up his home life, but because this chick was like, you had the audacity to come up here and show me you pregnant. It's your job to take care of that. I'm your producer. I don't need to be worried about you having more than sickness. Like,
I help you make music, and your job is to get rid of our babies.
No, my favorite, how he did the ultimate front. He was like, you know what? It's really messing things up. We need to take care of that. Matter of fact, who the father child?
Yeah,
put a baby there. Daddy. And he looked her in the face. He's like, I know he didn't just tell me this.
Her little chiseled face was perfect.
I mean, he cracked that chiseled face. He cracked it.
It was hilarious. Oh my God. I was like, well, I know he did not just pull the who's the daddy. Hilarious. I mean,
he was dead serious too. Like he was concerned, like, with who's daddy? Because, you know, I know he was getting ready to go into, like, well, you know what? He's messing up my production. Whoever he is, he's.
I swear this show is worth watching just for Stevie J.
It is. I'm telling you, I'm Team Stevie right now because he is the man with the plan.
And then he flips it when Mimi comes in, and it's like she's like trying to talk to him again, like, you know, trying to get Stevie J to talk to him. You know, Joe's trying to talk to him, maybe. Stevie's like, yeah, well, you know, I gotta tell you about some new things, some changes we're doing. Then, you know, then he does that whole who's behind door number one, Mimi coming through. And Mimi just busts through, like, all right, like, you know what?
But no, wait, she walks in like she had her theme music playing, like, Price is Right, like, really.
Mimi, come on down. You're the next contestant on who's going to get screwed.
Put Kim in the background. What about the Benjamins? That's what she was listening to. Like, she came through like, look, chick, pretty much I run you. I'm boss, bitch. You're going to do what I say. Matter of fact, I own you now. And, you know, shut her down, like, you know, Diddy shut her down, making the band. Like, you know what? Your studio time's done. Stevie's worked long enough with you. We going to move in her little friend, or used to be friend, little
Carly.
The little hard looking chick, you know, yeah, looks like A. Marie with a bad life, trying to, you know. And you know, it's like, well, we're gonna be working with her. Then they gonna ask her stupid. Now she just told her what's about to happen. You are losing studio time. You are out the way. Then they gonna turn right around. Mimi gonna turn right around and ask her. That's why Mimi weak. Gonna turn right around and ask her, like, well, how do you feel about Kylie and all this? You know how she felt. You gave an order. You stand behind an order. See, she's going to break down and try and end up being friends with that girl. They're going to fight first. Then Joe gets mad. She goes down to the gym because the producers told her that's where that Kylie chick is. And she goes down to, you know, the Ray Sand. And, you know, Joe, it is so weird to see Joe. They really need to take Joe off the because Joe was looking good in that white. But every time the camera goes up to her face, I'm like, she is so hard. I mean, she looked like Bruce Leroy from, like, the Netflix. Bruce Leroy. I'm like, wow.
Leroy.
I know.
Leroy.
And you would think, after this man just pretty much told you, go somewhere with you and your pregnant ass, why the hell is she defending him and trying to, like, fight for some studio time with Stevie? I don't understand. I mean,
first of all, that is just sad in itself. Y'all two chicks is fighting over just studio time. And why is it that the producers decide to do her recaps where Joe looks like a drag queen? You know the recap.
Really? She really does.
She's in the Mad Max bra and all the black and leather. And I'm like, oh, it must be drag night somewhere up here when you come out and all that stuff. And then sometimes she looks normal. And, you know, I didn't, you know, to help y'all out, I didn't watch the show because I didn't want to waste my life. if you watch the best moments, get like the whole synopsis of all this nonsense in 5 minutes.
But it doesn't but you gotta wait for after the episode airs to get the highlights. There's nothing like seeing it.
I'm just tripping to Rashida about to get slapped. That's what I'm tripping on. I'm like, Rashida, you about to get slapped right now.
She about to get slapped by
her husband.
Suspect husband. I think the dude is gay.
Well, you know what? She does say she a boss chick. And, you know, that does come with when a chick gets money, it's certain things she has to have. So if you're a boss chick now, from watching reality shows, because I caught the Hollywood exes, that show is hilarious. I'm like, you know, y'all ungrateful bitches. Anyway, except for Nicole Murphy. I love me some Nicole Murphy. Nicole Murphy and R. Kelly's wife. Oh, man, R. Kelly's wife. Man, that's true.
R. Kelly's wife. We gonna get to them later, but all I gotta say is that I see the inspiration for Donkey's character in Shrek, because that lady is not cute. I'm like, what the hell?
I didn't see this at all.
Yeah, you gotta. And I mean, you gotta see it just because, like, nobody knew the hell knew that R. Kelly was married. I knew it.
No, he kept secret, but as you can tell. That's her name. She's in to win it because she has her honorary gay. Like, when you start balling, get you an honorary gay assistant for you. But that means you balling as a woman. You got your honorary gay, you got your Yorkie, and you got your expensive foreign vehicle. So, I mean, she's honorary because she already has a gay. And, I mean, come on, man. That's just a fact. So, maybe Rashida's husband is just her gay. You know, all in one, like her gay and the systems. That's what she's kind of like treating them. And I don't know. She needed to backhand on a little bit. I saw, like, you know what? You need to get slapped on this part. Like, you need to calm down and get back to reality.
I mean, come on now. How the hell is he supporting her when the dude literally cut all of her quote unquote assets out of her budget? Like, she has no stylist.
Okay, let's look at it like this, really. I went and I listened to the songs on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. I mean, he got a lover because he's still selling her the dream. That stuff ain't moving, man.
How is he selling? He is pacifying
her. Because it's not moving.
She came out and said.
It's not selling.
She came out and said, you cut my budget. I really want to do a real video this time with more than one camera, more than one microphone. Like.
Cause they don't have the money to the album anymore.
Did you hear that song she was playing?
It's like she remixing the old Kaya songs, and the only thing she's like got going for herself is she got a prettier face. Like My Neck and My Back, that was never a crossover hit. So why are you recreating that formula? Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
You heard the other one, Legs to the Air, with Candy on it.
I saw the little video clip they played during the show. It looked like they did that in somebody's extra large bathroom.
Wait, no, you know what's funny though? On real though, I know that studio. Like, I've shot at the studio, and it's really nice. It's not that big, but it is really nice studio. Right off of 85. So I've been there like a million times. So it tripped me out when I saw it. I'm like, wow, they're making that look kind of like big, because they're like right by the little pool table. It's like right in the middle of everything when you walk in. It's like, that's that pool table right there. And she should have just got slapped on that one. Like, come on, man. Like, you 2 hours late. You could at least picked up the phone and been like, look, I'm a shit. I'm going to get there when I get there. And then just be
yes.
Off the diva move.
She's diva anyway. I mean, she's diva, but she's selling out the trunk. Like, come on, man. I mean, I know there's some pride to it, but you're not moving it out the trunk.
I don't know. I just can't. I can't fall into the Rashida game. I really feel like back in the day, Rashida was a nice girl who realized that she had to put on a Class A ghetto girl act, and she just can't shake it for some reason.
Mm-mm-mm.
I don't know. But,
Rashida, Wiki videos is higher. Go to Wiki. Follow up.
And if I do all of that, like, all of that drama was going on. And there was a nice spot of week's episode. Lil Scrappy's baby mama, Erica, she had a heart-to-heart with her birth mother. And they talked about their pain from the past with her mom being on drugs or whatever. And then her mom was really showing concern for Erica's round two attempt at a relationship with Scrappy. I was like, okay, you know, this is a heartfelt moment. It seemed to be like a nice breath of fresh air from all the ratchetness from before until Erica's mama's name popped up on the screen. The mama name is Mignon, like filet mignon.
What?
Yeah. So what? Wait. Say that again.
It is Mignon, like filet mignon.
Filet mignon?
Like filet mignon?
It might
be N-O-N. So her name, she's thinly cut meat. That's what it is in French. So she's thinly cut meat.
Yeah.
Is she thin?
No. She's like a couple of slices, like a lot of pieces of slices put together.
Brown chuck.
Oh, she's more a porterhouse than anything, I guess.
She's rump roast, huh?
Yeah. I would say she's about a porterhouse with the name Mignon. Like, there's nothing dainty about this lady.
What, is she built like a poke shoulder or something?
I mean, I really was, you know, I was pulling for them because I was like, you know what? I root for Erica. She seems like she's really trying to act right. Is she not really about the foolishness until that name popped on the screen? I just was like, I'm done. Like, it's crazy. So all I want to know is that, like, if your mama name is Mignon, Erica can't be your government name. Like, I mean, if that's your mama name, Lord knows what wishful luxury item she was named after. Like, come on. I don't know if it's Lexus, it could be Aston, it could be whatever.
She's probably named souffle or something.
Or caviar. That's probably her real
caviar
name.
Caviar might be it. That'll work.
Yeah, I just thought that was hilarious. So I'm like trying to root for them, say, oh, they're going to end this episode strong. But they hit us with a grown ass woman named Mignon. Like, really.
Wow.
Man. See, that's why I'm glad I only watched the best moments.
That's what we bring Brandy on for, just to find out the good stuff.
Yeah, it was really good. It was good. We touched on Hollywood Exes. I guess I'll have to tune in Wednesday to really get the full recap of it. They're older women. I think they're all in their 40s.
Yeah, I got beef with them, though.
Why?
Because, okay, you know, they were getting on to Will Smith's ex about, you know, her husband's in the church. And, you know, she was like, come on, everybody, before we eat, let's all pray. And they all, like, nutted up. And I said, you know what? I was going to say that on the show after that because all of them was cool with me until that. I was like, whoa, now you ungrateful bitches. Ain't none of y'all except for probably Eddie Murphy's wife, Andrea R. Kelly's wife, have worked. The rest of them haven't worked. No, all of them got snatched up young. Who worked?
Prince's ex-wife. Well, she works now. I don't think she worked when she was with Prince.
She worked for Prince. He hooked up with Monte when she was 17 and made her a dancer.
Right.
Well, hey.
And I mean, Seiko's crazy old lady, you know, post-Seiko, he all broke. And, you know, all them steroids, you know, he ain't really a man no more. His stuff don't work right. He trying to come back home.
Yeah,
and it's sad. He going to get his heart broke. See, I'm like, dude, don't do that, man. She going to stay. They already tripping on you.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. She went and got a little vaginal laser surgery. It wasn't for Jose. Trust.
Oh, no. She's tripping. No, since Jose left, you know, she footloose and fancy free. And, you know, because, you know, he tried to trip about when he wanted to come back. He was like, you know, when you was with me, I paid for everything. But I'm like, you know what, dude? That's what happened when you hook up with a waitress from the mid-state that's like 17 years old with no education. Yeah, you are going to pay for everything. She surely can't. So, you know, he was trying to throw that argument. I thought that was weak. But I'm like, y'all, you know, I was like, y'all need to pray, man, because y'all don't work no well.
I did watch clips for things to come in this season, and it's going to be interesting to see the new Preacher's Wife getting in with the white lady. It's going to be real interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, well, we're going to see how much she really loves the Lord, because she looked like she was getting loud about to throw fights and glasses at somebody. So.
Oh, no, I remember. No, I remember. She's wild. She was like, last time she drank tequila, she ended up with a tattoo that she doesn't like on her butt.
So, oh, she did say that when they was in the club. Yeah. She probably got
Big Willie style on her butt. You know? Wow. She's like, you know, that's hard for any dude, you know. But I just tripped out how all of them was talking about how getting divorced, they had a downgrade. And their downgrade is, like, from billionaire to, like, still rich. Like, oh, you know, I had a downgrade. I didn't have a chauffeur no more and no more jets, you know, none of that stuff. No more maid and a butler. You know, I mean, well, the maid comes like once a week now. You know, I drive everywhere. I mean, you know, it's a Mercedes, but, you know, it's just the driving, you know.
That was, I felt bad for Michael Strahan when Nicole was saying that, because she pretty much said, I got a new boo, but he ain't making that Eddie Murphy money, pretty much. Like, she ain't ready to let go of that Murphy last name, I noticed.
Well, I mean, because Eddie, look, seriously, we give Eddie a hard time, and I can't wait when Eddie's contract is finished with Disney so he can go back to doing some adult work. But he makes a lot off of Donkey, man. Like, we trip on them other movies that bomb, but all they got to do is do Donkey from Shrek. And, you know, that's at least all of her money for a whole 2 years right there off of Shrek.
Yeah, I mean...
And Strahan just can't do it, man. I mean, he's just not Eddie. I mean, he got the teeth fixed. You know, he did the commercials. They tried to give him the TV show. I mean, he's trying, but, you know, he's not Eddie, you know.
But, I mean, it seems like that's what all of the women who are exes of ballers do. I mean, Nicole hasn't dropped the Murphy last name. She's not quick to replace that last name. Kimora didn't do it with Russell. That's just what you do. You hold on to that name as long as you can, because that money is rightfully owned as long as you still, quote unquote, in the family or got the family name.
Yeah, that's what I have to tell my wife.
Any more news that you want to get into, Brandy, or is that it?
That was pretty much it. We don't have to talk about single ladies. Technically, that's not a reality show, so we won't get into that one.
Just skip that. But go ahead and plug your sites and your work so people know where to hit you up at.
Once again, I am Brandy. You can catch me with my BLR Productions graphic design work at www.imsopure. That's imsopure.com. On Twitter, I'm at @BLR_productions. And same thing on Facebook.
And thanks for joining us this week. And, of course, you'll be on next week to give us some more of your reality check.
All right, y'all take care.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
See ya.
That was fun.
That it was.
What the news do you have for us, big bro?
All right. Let's see. Going back, it was basically the box office for the weekend. We talked about it offline. animation is still ruling the weekend. Madagascar, well, Brave, the box office. It's a Pixar movie. It's $6.7 million. I would give you a plot to Brave, but I have no idea what the movie is about. I've seen every trailer. I don't know what the movie is about. But
it's about a chick with big red hair, and she wants to do man stuff.
And she wants to shoot arrows.
Because everyone's arrows are cool now.
I'm about to say Mr. Banff called it Mulan in Highlands. He called it last week.
Exactly. It's Mulan in Ireland, damn it.
Yeah. But yeah, Brave, I mean, it was a pretty good opening, $66.7 million.
Not bad.
Yeah. Let's see, make sure I have the entire list. Okay. Madagascar, you know, dropped down from number one to number two. It got $20.2 million. The new release, or the other release for the week, Vampire Hunter, start off slow. It only earned $16.5 million, and the Mighty Mighty Dog has looked at the movie, so he'll give us a review later on. Number four was Prometheus. It earned another $10 million so far. It earned $108 million domestically. And Snow White and the Huntsman, it was number five. It got another $8 million. So far, it's earned $137 million in the U.S. Pretty much Rock of Ages and That's My Boy are six and seven, respectively. And that's pretty much, yeah, those movies really didn't earn a whole lot. They both have earned about $28 million. Hmm. So it's pretty sad. Well, pretty sad for those movies.
What about Abraham Lincoln?
I said it had got – it was number three. It had got $16
million. Oh, okay. Good.
You know, they were projecting early that it was going to get 20, but, you know. Oh, there was one other movie in the – that was a new release that was Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. Now, it was only in like 1,000 theaters, but it had only earned $3.8 million. And that, you know, you're talking about a movie with Steve Carell and Keira Knightley in it. So that's kind of a discipline for it.
How many screens was it on again?
It was a little over 1,000. Let me get the exact number.
Right.
That's not that many screens.
That's not that many screens, but you said 3.8 million?
Mm-hmm.
3.8. That's still
that's pretty good decent. to be on 1,000 screens actually. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say it was 1,625 screens. Yeah.
That ain't bad for that many screens.
I mean, that's an independent movie.
Yeah, that movie.
It's not an action movie.
It probably didn't cost that much to make. So that's actually pretty good for that movie. So.
Yeah, well, they'll make it back in they'll make it back on DVD. Well, DVD and Blu-ray sales, they'll make it back.
Yep. But that's pretty much our box office for this past weekend. And let's see, Tim, you want to go into this one? This is Marvel teases This Is War.
Yes, because Marvel Comics can't have enough big crossover events in one year. Currently, starting in the spring, going into summer, we have the Avengers versus X-Men, which is a 12-part biweekly comic with, of course, expanding crossovers into limited series A versus X, and, of course, crossing over into all the X-Men and Avengers books, which is supposed to change the Marvel Universe forever, and this is the culmination of everything started in Avengers Disassembled and House of M, and blah, blah, blah. But no, coming this October, we have This Is War! Exclamation mark. And it's going to be debuted Sunday, July 15th at the Amazing Spider-Man panel at Comic-Con International 2012. And so far, each day they've released a different teaser image to hype the event. They've released an image of Wolverine's hand with claws coming out, you know, his three claws coming out of it, and it looks like he's all being burnt to a crisp. And then there's another image of Thor's hammer laying on the ground, and there's like lightning coming from it, and it's kind of like cracked and broken in a bunch of different places. And today they've released an image of Captain America's shield with blood splattered all on it. This is war. So yeah.
Yeah, well, you know.
Your typical, you know, big event, because they can't go less than 2 or 3 months without another event. Instead of allowing their writers to tell individual stories in their own books, instead of having to rely on crossover appeal. End rant.
Man, it's just Marvel, dude. That's how Marvel does. Like I said, DC, just, you know, despite how other people feel on other podcasts, my opinion, DC always writes better books.
They do the same crossover stuff too.
Yeah. All the time.
Well, yeah, they do crossover. They still flesh out the stories.
Hell, DC been doing that shit since the early 90s, really, technically. So.
Yeah, well.
So, yeah, that's the only story I had for tonight. Mm. Continue, Adam Black.
Adam Black, are you there?
That would be you.
Sorry, I was on mute.
I figured.
Thanks.
But at least you are using the mute button properly.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Production values. Shout out to production values. All right. do any of y'all watch Storage Wars? Because I don't really know this phrase.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Kind of, sort of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're kind of fun to watch.
All right. Dave Hester, star of A&E's reality series Storage Wars, and rapper-singer Trey Songz have settled a lawsuit over who gets to say yup on television.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Really?
Well, you know, his yup off of the Storage Wars is a little bit different than
Trey Songz.
Trey's a, you know, he's a little bit higher and a little bit yodel.
Yeah, apparently. Go ahead.
Can we skip this story, because it feels like it's going to be really, really stupid?
Well, what happened?
Oh, God.
Hester filed a lawsuit after getting a cease and desist letter from Songz' attorneys demanding he stop calling out the phrase during Storage Wars auctions of seized goods. In his original complaint, Hester asserted his yup was different. Songz' version resembles an animal-like or non-human squeal, which begins with a distinct yee sound before finishing with a yup sound.
Oh, God.
I knew it. You know what? Though, they're really
I knew
right.
it.
Because over Storage Wars, his is like a redneck yup.
Oh, my God. And you are actually, a turn jet stream.
Yeah.
No, this story is stupid. Oh, my God.
It's a dumb story.
Oh, God. Finish.
But, I mean, why is Trey Songz bothering this dude about that? He need to be making music. That's what he's good at.
That's my saying.
Like, leave this dude from Storage Wars alone. Trey, you rich. Leave him alone.
Who gives a fuck, really? That's stupid. That's a bunch of just... Okay, really?
Net story.
You sure you don't want me to finish?
Keep going.
Finish it, dude. Where's the end of it? Did he get any money?
Yeah, there is no end to it. He sued and won, right?
Well, no. They basically just went before they got together, and they, you know, eventually basically came together and canceled the whole lawsuit and all that season.
The judge told them, y'all are idiots. Get out of my courtroom.
He said it was stupid. The judge said, this is stupid.
Yes.
Yeah, get the fuck out of my courtroom.
This is stupid. Pay your court fees when you leave.
Just like we're moving on to the next story.
Thank you.
All right. Hold on 1 second. All right. Sorry about that, guys. Let me get to the next story.
Next story is Avatar 2, 3, and 4, !
Yes. I got this story from Banff earlier today, and basically supposed to be Sigourney Weaver has said that she's filming Avatar, well, she's going to start filming Avatar 2, 3, and 4 with James Cameron. And, you know, supposedly, you know, the big deal is that they're going to do 2, 3, and 4 and film them simultaneously. My thing is,
that's really nothing new.
Well, why are they going to do 3 movies?
Yeah.
Before everybody wakes up and figure out, you know what, these sequels aren't really going to work and we're going to pull the budget. So that's what they're trying to do. Like, let's get them all out.
Oh, no, they're not going to pull the budget. They're not going to pull the budget because that first one made so much damn money. But my thing is, I mean, there's a couple things that's playing into that. Back when the first one came out, it was a 3D event, and there have since been movies that, you know, the 3D was actually kind of comparable to Avatar. So you really kind of take that away. And then on top of that, you know, a lot of people that have seen the movies, you know, when you first see Avatar, it's kind of like, oh my God, look at this. You know, it's
so
kind
pretty
of
a looking. Thing.
Right. So pretty looking. Then that. Yeah, then at that second and third viewing, you like, this is actually kind of stupid.
Yeah, that's the Hype Williams effect.
You know, so, I mean, two more movies, okay, cool. Four, you know, 3 movies, I think that's a little bit of overkill. I don't know if, especially what kind of budget are you going to have to make this damn movie? It's going to cost like $1 billion to make these damn movies.
Pretty much. I'm fairly certain it's well in the 200 to 300 range for each of those movies.
Yeah.
I can probably find.
And, you know, and knowing James Cameron, he's going to try and come up with a new technique to out-top the 3D and the stuff, the CGI effects that he did in the first Avatar.
So
the budget for the first one apparently was $237 million, and then the extra 9 when they re-released the movie.
Right.
So yeah. You've
got to make that money.
Oh, it's gonna make money. I get that, but I mean, you know, and you know what? And now that I think about it, I mean, hey, when they release the second one, hell, it'll probably make enough money to probably earn the budget back anyway. So,
yep.
You know, but. Hey, who knows? James Cameron, you know, they're probably all going to suck anyway. So.
All right. The next story, it came out today, the trailer for the new movie called Alex Cross, starring Tyler Perry. This is really a departure for Perry because he's normally doing his own movies, especially the Madea movies and movies such as recently Good Deeds that don't feature Madea. But they're pretty much movies that he, you know, he wrote, produced, directed, and starred in. So this is a total departure for him. It's also a movie that's not a comedy. So, you know, there you go.
I saw the trailer this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really have any thoughts besides, wow, Matthew Fox is in some actual movie.
Right.
Not like a made-for-TV movie or a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
You know, he was pretty much a badass. He did a pretty good job, you know.
And I I'm actually going to see the movie. I was going to say I have to need to see it to believe it as far as Tyler Perry and doing action stunts and.
They've been talking about him doing that for a while. So,
I mean, you know, it's a departure. It's definitely a departure from what he normally did. You know, and a lot of it, to me, it just seemed like, well, Tyler Perry is talking very slow. And that means
he's intense.
And it's so serious.
He's trying to get his Will Smith on.
Yeah.
Yeah, Will Smith's acting school. plus, though, what they can do on that, though, You know what they're really trying to do, though? They got Tyler Perry so he can bring his audience with them. Because, you know, if Tyler Perry's stuff, even when he swings for the bleachers and he misses, he has a fan base that will still go out, go to the movie and go to Walmart and buy the DVD and the Blu-ray. And that's what they're hoping for with Alex Cross. Because I wouldn't want to be Alex Cross.
Don't cross, well, cross.
I like Mr. Bouncer Boy. This he said should have been the Black Panther. Mackie would be Alex Cross to me. And you know,
Anthony Mackie would make a good.
Yeah,
he would make a good Alex Cross.
And another problem I have: why do they want to keep aging? I don't know what story Alex Cross is doing, so I don't know. But for with the Owens and Morgan Freeman, why did they age him so much? And he doesn't ever get a love interest. So I'm like, okay, you got Tyler Perry. Yo, man, if the love interest on there is real shaky, because if it ain't Oprah, I don't know what Tyler's going to do if it ain't Oprah.
I just need to hear like the catchphrase, don't cross, cross.
Well, that was in the trailer. But, it's based upon the book Cross. I think it came out 2 or 3, maybe 4 years ago. He does have a love interest in the movie. And Matthew Fox, of course, is threatening her, in a way. We'll add that trailer to the podcast page for this episode.
Yep.
But, the one problem with this movie, I had talked to Jetstream about this when they casted this movie earlier last year, was that they had already got a movie set up for Alex Cross starring Idris Elba, which I was totally for. I was like, he'd make a perfect Alex Cross. But
he's a much better. There's a lot of people that, maybe Tyler will prove us wrong and he'll really throw down with it. But
right now we're looking at it through the eyes of, only thing we've seen Tyler Perry do, and that's Madea movies or movies like Good Deeds and stuff like that. Who knows? You may look at Alex Cross and be totally surprised.
Yeah.
You know what, though, man? You know who I think should be the next Alex Cross, man? Since Tyler Perry has it, I think Mr. Bounce should be the next Alex Cross. That he can kick down doors and be like, evening, bitches. See, that would be even better. So I think Mr. Bounce.
Bring the bitches to the movies.
Yeah. You will. Kick down the door. Evening, bitches. I think he would be way better than Tyler. I don't know about Tyler Perry on now.
Actually, I would like to do the sequel to Black Dynamite. That's cool.
Oh, okay.
What's the next story?
All right, the next story is Jim Carrey decides not to do Dumb and Dumber sequel.
Yeah.
It's frustration over the lack of enthusiasm for the film from Warner Brothers and New Line.
Yeah, I read that.
And
he was upset about it, and the studio's like, you know what, Carrey, you really kind of haven't had a hit. You kind of lost your luster, and,
Who gives a damn? Next story.
Yep.
This is actually a Liz story. As we noted a few weeks ago, Randy Orton's been suspended for 60 days due to wellness. This is an old article from the Bleacher Report. It lists the top infamous talent wellness program suspensions by the WWE. I won't go through the entire list, but notable at number 10 was Andy Levin, old boy from Tough Enough, who won last year. He got suspended for wellness while in training, basically, after he won Tough Enough. The big contrast was that he carried himself as a clean, family dude, and then he got suspended, busted. So that was tough. Well, he's been released anyway.
Yep.
Recently. A bust that came at the wrong time was William Regal in 2008. He was in a hot storyline. He got busted for wellness, and then once he came back, the push was gone pretty much.
Oh well.
Pretty much. Yeah, we noticed Carlito. Of course, I'm not going through all of them.
Thank you.
Jeff Hardy in 2008. He was pretty much poised to be. The WrestleMania in 2008, I think that was 24, was supposed to end with Randy Orton retaining his championship over John Cena and Triple H. And then they were basically going to beat the crap out of him. And the match was supposed to end with Jeff Hardy coming out to cash in the Money in the Bank briefcase that he would have won that night and cash it in on Randy Orton. And he would have won the WWE Championship. And that probably would have turned out that storyline would turn out a whole lot better, I think. But yeah, he got busted in 08, and that was really infamous. Pretty much, you know, we talked about Ray before. Of course, RVD getting busted while on a trip with Sabu.
That's good enough. Because you're basically reading everyone, sounds like.
Well, no. I skipped over a few. But, yeah, we can stop there. Of course, it ended with a signature pharmacy scandal.
Yay.
All right. And if my wife would not tickle me when she comes into the room. All right.
Let's see. Avengers to hit $600 million today. That's good for them. And last story is... Oh, yeah. You can do this one.
I'm trying to get to it. I'm sorry. Hold on.
An actor has been approached to play the Black Panther.
Yes. An actor, thanks to Mr. Bamp for sending this to me. An actor has been approached to do the Black Panther, and he is interested in the movie. That actor is Romeo Miller, a.k.a. Little Romeo.
A.k.a. Master P, son.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
But he was approached back when the movie Jumping the Broom came out, when he was making that movie. It was like the early rumblings of a Black Panther movie. He was approached back then. I don't know if he's still in consideration now, but he did say he was still interested in the part if they are willing to give it to him.
Yeah. So, Romeo.
So Marvel has offered him the role, is what you're saying?
They have offered him. They just expressed interest in him to possibly play the role. So, he still has to go through, you know, auditions and all that good old stuff like that. So,
that was a few
years ago, though. Yeah, that was a couple years ago. So,
what?
He may not even be considered anymore.
Yeah, let me ignore all this news.
So, yeah,
that's why we didn't reveal the name to you.
Yeah, because we knew you'd be straight pissed off by that. I was a wee bit taken aback by that one myself. Like, ooh, Romeo?
That is really funny. Yes, that is funny.
It's like, no.
So yeah, that wraps up. That little piece of crap news ends up our news segment perfectly. And as we take a break, I'll let every listener know that when we come back, we are going to, since the Amazing Spider-Man movie is coming up on the July 4th week, we thought it would be a good idea to take a look back at the original Spider-Man trilogy and say what we liked and enjoyed about it and share a couple of memories, going to see the movies together, or if we saw them separately, what we didn't like about some of the movies. And that will be the show. So we'll be right back.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
wealth and fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big pain. Wherever there's a hang, you'll find a Spider-Man.
And we're back. So, for the first Spider-Man film from the trilogy, aptly titled Spider-Man, it was a 2000 American film that was directed by Sam Raimi and written by David Koepp. And of course, it was based on the fictional Marvel comic book's character Spider-Man, where Tobey Maguire played Peter Parker / Spider-Man, a high school student who turns to crime-fighting after developing spider-like powers. And the movie also starred William Dafoe as Norman Osborn, a.k.a. the Green Goblin, Kirsten Dunst as Peter's love interest, Mary Jane Watson, and James Franco as his best friend, Harry Osborn. And, of course, everyone should know the Spider-Man origin of being bit by a radioactive spider, and high school student Peter Parker gains these magnificent powers, and he tries to, well, I guess in the beginning he doesn't try to do good because he lets the power go to his head, and he wins some money doing a wrestling match, and a guy robs the ticket booth and runs by him in a hallway, and Spider-Man with these powers could have stopped him, but he decided not to because, hey, it's not my problem. And, of course, the criminal turns out to murder his Uncle Ben later on, and Peter, wrapped with guilt, declares, with great power comes great responsibility, and he decides to live up to the hero that he eventually becomes in the future. So, do any of you guys remember any memories from going to see Spider-Man when it first came out?
It was crowded. it was very crowded.
Didn't I see it with you, kinda?
Yeah, I wound up finding a seat, and Tim was behind me on the floor.
I sat on the floor to watch Spider-Man.
Man.
Background, because Rodney was in Macon, I was in Fort Valley, and I was leaving Fort Valley to drive to Macon to try to catch the showtime. I believe I stopped at a friend's house, and she was yapping my ear off, which made me late. But I got there and got my ticket and walked in, and was like, oh, this theater was packed. A lot of people were just standing in the sort of the hallway entrance that leads to the theater, so I just kind of made myself a seat on the floor and leaned against the wall and sat there for like an hour and 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and that's where I watched the movie.
Yeah, I wound up going in at a separate time. I was like, well, is he here? I'm not sure.
You beat me there, didn't you? Because mm-hmm. I was late. Because I missed all the trailers. I think I came in right at the intro, like the opening credits and whatnot.
Yep, so...
I can't remember who I saw this movie with. Who did... I can't remember. I really can't. Didn't I see it with you, Rodney? I could have swore you...
No, because I think what happened, I had to go out of town that weekend for a friend's birthday, and that's why I wound up going to see that movie first and then leaving right afterwards.
Yeah, I remember me and you talked in the parking lot afterwards for a little while.
I can't remember what to see it with. I can't remember. But I do remember it. I also remember it being packed, because I do remember going on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was packed when I went. It was packed, and matter of fact, I was on a date. It was a date movie, and I was ticked off because she was making me like late. She was like, "Man, come on, man, Spider-Man, about like, you know, come trying to show up on CP time, man. You know, they don't want to get popcorn and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. you fucked that up, showing up late when I pulled up at the house. But you know." I love the movie because it straightened all that out, because we were sitting there both mad at each other, and about 30 minutes into the movie, we weren't even mad no more. We were just like, you know, we was like amazed.
You were all in the movie.
Yeah, we was all into the movie, man. And that's all we talked about the rest of the night, you know. So Spider-Man 1, you know.
Yeah, and then...
It's pretty good.
You know, I guess a couple years before that, we had X-Men on film, so that... sort of whet our appetite, and then it was like, oh, here comes Spider-Man.
I didn't feel that way about all the X-Men.
I'm saying X-Men 1.
Yeah, first X-Men. That came out in 2000.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, a year before.
Well, no.
Well, Spider-Man came out in 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a couple years before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, like I said, the original Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man, it was, when I first saw it, I liked it a lot. I thought the web swinging scenes was like, it just looked so fun to me.
Yeah.
Like, that would be the funnest, you know, like the best thing to do. You know, I kind of liked some of the liberties they took with Spider-Man, like they made his web slingers mutations, you know.
Yeah, that didn't really bother me, like, of course, others.
Others,
yeah,
I thought
it was a cool idea too, because the, you know, for everybody that reads comic books, that was always one of Spider-Man's foils, was always he would leave the house and forget to get a web cartridge, and whenever he's in the middle of a battle, he always either he ran out of webbing or whoever he was fighting damaged his webbing or crushed it, and you know, he couldn't do his web, so
it was different.
No, and it did take out that kind of goofy thing where they just said that somehow, due to him being bit by a radioactive spider, that he innately had the ability to create webbing. And it was like, okay, so I did end up liking that better.
Yep. It was definitely, that didn't anger me. I like a lot, it's one of those things, I guess. You know, Sam Raimi kind of made it, in some cases, you know, horror, you know, put a lot of horror elements in there, you know, to kind of shock people at times.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was it was a good twist. I wouldn't have thought that from a Spider-Man movie. But yeah, it was, I liked that. I liked the casting. The only questionable cast, of course, is Kirsten Dunst. But, you know,
yeah. We'll talk more about her later.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely later. I did think William Dafoe, when they first told him he was going to be Osborn, was a little bit weird, but yo, he did a great job as Osborn. So
I liked him. I just hated the suit. You know.
The suit was. I mean, he was like, cool. The character, he worked it, but the suit was goofy.
But the thing is, from I just read this recently, that the reason why they went for that suit is because he didn't like the goblin makeup, the original goblin makeup that they were going to do, which was more organic and looked more closer to the comic book. But I've seen a video of the makeup test for that, and the original makeup just looked really, really creepy to me. You know, it was less, Alex, I have to find it and I'll send it to, you know, to Tim Dog, and he can put the link on the website so y'all can see it. But that, yeah, I mean, I don't like the original Spider-Man as much as I did when I first saw it, but I still actually enjoy that one a lot. I actually do.
Yeah, I was trying to Green Goblin's outfit's the only thing I really had an issue with in the first one.
Yeah, I mean, and like Larry said, the special effects, the swinging scenes were like some of the best. That I didn't know how that was going to come out, and it turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah, those were good. And like I said, William Dafoe, he did a good job working with the special effects with him on the Goblin Wing, or what do they call it?
The glider.
The glider, on the glider, you know, all of that was great with the pumpkin grenades and everything. So that one was great. Like I said, I don't get into no real beef until Spider-Man 2.
And before we head on to Spider-Man 2, just to give some money statistics, the budget for Spider-Man was $140 million, and its box office number was $821 million.
Wow. And when the box office tolls came out that weekend, I was, I was so thrilled. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Because I think that was the first movie to actually kind of sort of, like I said, I will always point to Blade as the start of this new comic book movie renaissance, but Spider-Man has actually made it legitimate. You know, Spider-Man. Yeah, the first Spider-Man actually made it a legitimate subgenre of action.
Well, yes, especially have the budget, and Spider-Man did prove that you could do the special effects exactly, if not better, than the comic book. Because, you know, Blade was good,
but that really had been done. That much.
Yeah, it didn't give you that much. You know, the X-Men, they didn't give you that much yet. You know, Spider-Man, pretty much, you know, they brought the comic book to life.
Yep.
So that's... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, give a rating for it.
Oh, yeah, the click rating. What is it? What's our rating system again?
1 to 5.
1 to 5. 1 star. Well, if you want to give a half star, a half is the lowest rating.
No half stars.
No half. We don't do half stars here. Let me go ahead and get the actual rating for it. Half star equals to skip it. 1 star, if you want to see it, wait for basic cable. 2 stars, wait for it on pay cable. 3 stars, worth the rental to at least watch it once. 4 stars, holds up to multiple viewings. And 5 stars, this is a must-own, worthy of being added to your collection. Now, gentlemen, will you give a rating for Spider-Man 1?
I'll go ahead and give 1 5.
5 stars?
Yeah, I give 1 5 stars.
I'm going to rate it from when I originally saw it. So, I'm going to say a 5 at a time because I enjoyed it. It was one of my favorite comic book characters on the big screen.
If I rate it from when I first saw it, I will definitely give it a 5. Now looking back on it, I actually give it a 3.5.
From my rating originally, it would definitely gone 5. Now, after some years, I would probably give it a 4. I'd give it a 4 right now.
Okay. So that's Spider-Man 1. And as for Spider-Man 2, it's set 2 years after the events of Spider-Man. And the film focuses on Peter Parker struggling to manage both his personal life and his duties as Spider-Man. And Dr. Otto Octavius, who takes a turn for the diabolical following a failed experiment and the death of his wife. Using his mechanical tentacles, Octavius is dubbed Dr. Octopus and threatens to endanger the lives of the people of New York City. Spider-Man must stop him from annihilating the city. It was released on June 30th, 2004. And it grossed over $783 million worldwide and won a bunch of awards. So, Spider-Man 2, what are our thoughts?
I liked Spider-Man 2. I'm trying to think. A couple of things I didn't like about Spider-Man 2. I didn't like that it was trying to introduce the son of the Green Goblin or trying to introduce Harry's character. You know, into that. I just never liked that as a storyline in a comic book. But you know, the weird thing is I didn't like Dr. Octopus at all. Like, I only like Dr. Octopus in the movie. I hate him in the comic book.
And yeah, he
showed up in the comic book. I always hated him in the comic book.
Yeah, he was never one of my favorite Spider-Man villains at all.
I think one of my favorites.
Now, I never liked. Now, this movie, he was awesome in this movie, you know, especially the scene when they're on the subway and him with the arms and... You know, they make him, you know, they make Dr. Octopus a little bit more, you know, likable and human because, you know, comic books, he's just this weird, you know, fat dude who doesn't really even have a good origin story. So,
right. I thought they did a good job of humanizing his character a lot because you, especially the moments where he's with Peter before he gets in the accident and all that stuff happens, though. They did a lot to really humanize his character, make him relatable, and then you feel bad when everything kind of falls apart for him. I'm a big Spider-Man fan, and I never really liked Octopus as a villain myself. So, but it was a logical choice for if you do a Spider-Man movie, you got to do Dr. Octopus eventually. So,
yeah, I like that. Yeah, I liked how they made us care about the character Otto Octavius. Especially, like you said, them humanizing him and whatnot, just making us care about him.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
yeah,
it was my favorite of the trilogy, just because of the story behind it, and like I said, the how we cared about the characters and what happened to them, and how they teased Harry, you know, following in his father's footsteps, becoming the Green Goblin or Goblin or whatever he was called in the third movie.
I think he was just Harry.
Yeah,
he was just Harry. He never
was Harry. No. He was just Harry on a damn on a flying skateboard.
Yeah,
on a hoverboard from Back to the Future 2. So,
looking like a cat burglar, pretty much. So yeah,
right. You know, I mean, the second one is okay. I've always had issues with people referring to it as one of the greatest comic book movies of all time. It's not that good. It's just not. I mean, maybe I'm just too harsh on it because I'm not a big Spider-Man fan. But I mean, it's several things that became problematic for me in the series took place in this movie. One is, you know, Kirsten Dunst's whiny ass Mary Jane Watson.
What?
Tobey Maguire's, it just, Tobey Maguire always seemed weird to me as Peter Parker. He seems really, really odd to me as Peter Parker in, you know, Spider-Man 2. It's like he's taking that nerd thing a wee bit too seriously or something in that movie. I don't know what it is, but, and then, like I said, then on top of that, Otto Octavius, I mean, I like Alfred Molina, the actor who played Otto Octavius. I think he's one of the great best actors out there right now, and he really is the only great part about that movie to me, you know, because, you know, he's like acting rings around everybody who he's in a scene with, mm-hmm. you know, so, you know, and you know, but I just, and then on top of that, the movie seems edited really, really odd. Like, it just jumps all the way all over the place for me. I'm not like I said.
Got an example of that?
Let's see. It's nothing I could just like point out. It just feels like it's all over the place. You know, it's just
as far as like jumping between Otto's storyline and Peter. Yeah, what was up with, I guess Peter lost his powers because he had
yeah, that confidence.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Confidence, yeah.
Lack of confidence.
Well, in the comic books, remember it was the on the TV series. I know it was a neogenic nightmare where he was mutating. That's what it was.
You
on
know
that
what?
Little TV show.
I mean, that's cool and all, but lack of confidence. If you have a mutated power, lack of confidence is not going to take it away. I don't know what that was.
And it's funny because
that seemed like something they just threw in as an afterthought, you know, just to give Peter something else to damn do in the movie. You know, it was his second villain.
I guess it was also trying to do for Peter on there. They were trying to explain, you know, the first Spider-Man, you didn't really see much of Peter, though that was him becoming Spider-Man. So the second one, he's been Spider-Man for a while, and if you read the comic books, you know, Rodney can attest to this, and I used to read them, that Peter Parker has a tendency to whine a lot about being Spider-Man and time management and never being anywhere on time and just being tired and a lot of times not even wanting to be Spider-Man most of the time. And they try to introduce that in there like a little bit, and you know, then they tried it again in 3.
I mean, it's cool. You know what I mean? That's cool and all, but give me a reason why it's happening. There's no reason why it's happening. He just started losing his powers. There's no reason.
Yeah, because I didn't pick up what the reasoning why he was losing his powers until like the second or third time I watched the movie.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it was just a lack of confidence. So I'm like, yeah, right.
And you know, of course, they did the nod where they had him put the suit in the trash can, you know, nod to that famous, I think it was Amazing Spider-Man 50 cover where Spider-Man No More.
More, yeah.
Yeah.
They tried to do that. That was probably the one thing. I'm like Bamf on that. I just want it, if you do stuff like that, I want it to make sense. And I never felt that with that little storyline. I think that was more for Tobey Maguire to have, you know, to really stretch his acting chops, you know, I guess, in the movie.
Well, yeah, because Molina was really running circles around the fact that he has to also act with the he was doing a lot of acting with the arms,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a lot of his action scenes, you know, if you go back and you see the footage, it's just him, you know, with the screen and these puppets around him, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
You know, so. But, you know, hey. But some people like it. I don't like it.
But it's much better. It's much better than, like, Spider-Man 3. So. Much better than Spider-Man 3.
Nice lead-in.
Let's do clip ratings for Spider-Man 2.
Oh, yep.
Yes, I give Spider-Man 2 I'm going to give it a 2.
I'm going to give it a 5. And I actually probably should downgrade the first one to a 4.
I'll give it a good, strong 3. Because I like Molina. You know, he made me like Dr. Octopus. I did like the action, but... You know, Mary Jane did get on my nerves on that movie. another thing I didn't like about the movie that I found was kind of stupid. Maybe Ms. Banff might back me up on this one. The scene when Dr. Octopus makes the pretty much simply put a sun in the middle of the, where were they at? Were they in the harbor or something? He makes a sun in the middle of the harbor, and then the only way to get rid of this sun is to basically drown it in the harbor. And, you know, I'm like, I don't know anything about physics. I'm not going to act like I do, but I don't think that would really work out in physics, however they did that with him ending. It's like,
you know. It's just, it's just one of those. I mean, it's a lot of stuff in that movie I don't like. So,
well,
you know.
Yeah, they had to get out of it some kind of way.
They had to get out of it some way. So,
yeah, that plot itself, that was, you know, I'm gonna create a son to prove them wrong.
Right. It's like
because I couldn't have a son of my own.
No.
Well, you know, they didn't have no kids, so you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Did you give yours, Adam Black, rating?
No, I haven't. I think it's the best movie of the franchise. I would say still I would give it a 4 at my strongest.
Cool. And to end things, we have Spider-Man 3, which had the same cast as the original ones, and Peter Parker is basking in his success as Spider-Man. Mary Jane Watson continues her Broadway career. Harry Osborn still seeks vengeance for his father's death. And an escaped convict, Flint Marco, falls into a particle accelerator and is transformed into a shape-shifting sand manipulator who goes by the name of the Sandman. Also, an extraterrestrial symbiote crashes to Earth and bonds with Peter, influences his behavior for the worse. When Peter abandons the symbiote, it finds refuge in Eddie Brock, a rival photographer, causing Peter to face his greatest challenge. So that is the synopsis for Spider-Man 3. And
Even the synopsis of Spider-Man 3 has too much shit in it.
Yeah.
That is busy. That's a lot of stuff.
That's a lot of shit going on in that damn movie. You know, I mean.
Well, quickly, the budget was $258 million and the box office was $890 million.
Well, they didn't spend much of that on writing, so.
Obviously not. I mean.
Yeah, we can start trashing this one.
Okay. The only good thing about Spider-Man 3 is Thomas Hayden Church playing the playing Sandman. He's the only good part of this movie. That's it. He is the only one. He's the only character in the movie that I actually had sympathy for, and I actually cared about what happened to him, and I actually was sad for him for the situation that he was in and the situation that he was forced to be in. You know. Other than that, that's it.
Yeah, I agree with Mr. Banff on that one. He's the only one that makes you, first of all, this is sad. He is a guy who is playing a supporting – this dude in the comic book is a supporting character, and he's pretty much always a henchman and an idiot throughout the comic book. He's not that bright.
Right.
And he really makes you, I mean, care for him with what's happened to him. You know, he's just a guy that has some bad breaks, and you know how they introduced right. him as the you know, one of the guys. He didn't, you know, he was with the guy that killed, you know, Peter's uncle Ben. And that was good. That part was a good redeeming. That was a redeeming part of this.
That was a nice movie. Twist, also.
Yeah, that was a good twist. That was great. Now here's some stuff I had quick problems with. Harry Osborn is Green Goblin Jr. They don't even give him a name on Wiki. They just call him New Goblin.
New Goblin, right.
Yeah, he was. I didn't like that. The Mary Jane dynamic between it really started to drag.
Man, that bitch was whining for the whole fucking movie. Yeah.
It was just really kind of dragging. And then even when he kind of became evil Peter that they borrowed, like in the cartoon, he kind of became evil Peter due to the symbiote. It was, I mean, you know, he didn't really go there with the symbiote, because, you know, the only reason he stopped in the comic books was because he was about to kill people. You know, Spider-Man doesn't kill anybody.
I mean, the worst thing that he did is emo Peter in this one is do a extremely badly choreographed dance routine in a jazz bar. Oh god.
That was bad. You know, any hits on the homely Russian chick,
right?
Make
him get him cooking.
That's the most you can do. Yeah, get them cookies and stuff. It's like, okay, so, and you know, action wise, it was a big letdown. It was too much going on. I hate the scene where you got even the team up scene with him and Harry, and you know, then you got Sandman, and then you had Venom, and
right.
It was too. It would have been great if they had just done took Sandman out, took Harry out, and just did a Spider-Man and Venom.
Right.
Yeah, or the other way around. I mean, if you wanted to, you could have let Sandman be the villain, or you know, antagonist or whatever you want to call him. And then you could set up for your symbiote in this movie, and then the fourth movie would be about Venom. That was another big problem I had with it. Venom is like probably next to Green Goblin, probably the most popular, you know, Spider-Man villain. And you threw him in of all of maybe what 20 minutes for this movie?
Yeah, you know, and then on top of that, I liked Grace, the guy that, you know, played him. He's cool on, you know, that 70s show, but he's not Eddie Brock. So I'm like, no, he's not Eddie Brock. He's not Venom. You know, Venom is Peter Parker's worst nightmare. Is if Flash Thompson had his powers, and that's who Eddie Brock is. Is Flash Thompson with Spider-Man's powers. And, you know, I agree with Banff on that one. I mean, Venom needs a whole movie.
Yeah, I know, you know, reading over some of the stuff, I mean, you know, the plan was just to only he did want another villain. The other villain was supposed to be the Vulture, but and Ed Kingsley was supposed to play him. Looking back, I'm like, that may have been cool. But otherwise, you know, they had to cut that character. So they, the producers got him to put in Venom, which from stuff I read, he never really dug the character. He was like, I don't want to ever do a movie with Venom. But, you know, he did that mainly for the producers and for the fans. But I agree with both what Banff and Jetstream said. The symbiote, you know, if you're going to do a movie with Sandman is fine as the main villain. You can't just throw Venom in, which is like probably, I would say, the last great Spider-Man villain that has been created. Because pretty much everything after Venom, there's really no real good Venoms or villains. So because of that, Venom needs his own movie showing the dark side of Spider-Man. That's a good idea. Topher playing basically just a sleazy version of Peter Parker. You know, he's still basically the nerd type loser. Even tried to hit on, he did try to hit on Mary Jane during the movie too, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. But that other, what was that? The other girl that was on there?
Gwen.
Gwen, yeah.
Gwen Stacy, yeah.
Like I said, playing this, he was basically Peter Parker, but sleazy. And that was pretty much it. But yeah, it was just too much going on for the movie. I mean, explaining the Sandman's origin and everything felt like you had a good bit of half of the movie right there. Then you had the symbiote, and I felt basically what you guys said, put the symbiote in there and have Spider-Man go through this, these moral problems, have him get rid of the symbiote and set up a Venom showdown for a fourth movie would have been fine. Yeah. But yeah, it was just too much. It was just way too much to do.
Yeah, they force-fed us Venom, and he should have been his own separate movie.
Yeah. What do you think, Tim? Or did you already tell?
You basically said everything. Yeah, that. I mean, the action scenes were okay. It was. I like the visual of seeing Sandman on the big screen because that power set was pretty awesome to see displayed. It was something different, which you haven't really seen in an action comic book action movie. Yeah, by that point, everyone had, I think, had grown tired of Kirsten Dunst and Tobey Maguire's act as Peter Parker and Mary Jane Watson. Right. Not anything else. They kept teasing us with the Dr. Kirk Connors as Peter Parker's one of his professors in college.
Yeah, no lizard.
That pissed me off. Yeah, that's another thing that pissed me off. They kept teasing him in every single movie, but you never got the lizard. It's like, what the fuck is he there for? Yeah. You know, I mean, goddamn. You got this one-armed man running around the goddamn movie who we know who the hell he is. Why don't you do something with him?
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, at that point, dang, you're probably now going into Spider-Man 5. You know, you had a setup for a fifth movie if you needed to.
I mean, yeah.
So, well, yeah. I mean, well, you know how stuff goes with the movie industry with that. I mean, Raimi, he always said he didn't really want to do Spider-Man 3. And, you know, he bowed out of the reboot. He was like, I'm not even doing the reboot because they want him to do the reboot. So,
yeah. Yeah, it was just, it, like I said, just too much. When I saw it, it was a weird feeling walking out of that one. I was like, well, the first two, I was like, yes, I was happy. I got what I wanted, my favorite comic book hero on screen. And then this one, I had high hopes. I was like, I've got Venom, my favorite Spider-Man villain in the movie. And I'm like, well...
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yes, and then when I saw Venom, I was disappointed, man. I like Venom, and I was expecting
way better.
Anybody, but I was expecting somebody to at least put me in the mind. Like they could have got Triple H, or somebody puts me in the mind
of Eddie Brock.
Of Eddie Brock, or just somebody bigger than just somebody complete total opposite of Peter. Like you nailed it, where.
It was physically
it was just a sleazy version of Peter. That's it. Yeah. So you're right.
Yeah, man.
So let's give it our ratings.
I will give it a 1.
I'll give it a 2.
I give it a 2.
I'll also give it a 2. Definitely the worst of the Sam Raimi trilogy.
I must be harsh as hell on fucking movies, man. God,
you're the movie god, so you have to, someone has to be in the group.
Yeah, right. I need you. You know, we want that.
Right, I'm harsh. I'm sorry. But yeah, everybody. But I will give Spider-Man 3 a little bit of a little small piece of kudo. If anybody's ever seen the Blu-ray version of it, it is actually a reference Blu-ray that if you have a surround sound system, it is the audio on it is incredible, and it looks really, really good. Other than that, it sucks.
So that's the clicks. Look back at the Spider-Man trilogy, and this is to get us all prepared for the Amazing Spider-Man coming out on July 3rd, right?
July 3rd, yes.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. But how do you guys feel about the Amazing Spider-Man with the changes they made to it?
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. At first I was skeptical, you know, but the more I see. The more images I've seen, and I don't want to really base it solely upon reviews, but a lot of people are coming out giving very positive reviews of it. I think the younger kids, it's amazing because Kirsten, the stepkid, she's like, well, wait a minute, so someone else is playing Spider-Man? I'm like, yeah. She's like, I don't know if I like that. I still want to see it, but I don't know if I like that because, she's grown attached to those main characters. So it'll be interesting. I feel positive about it. I do want to say one shout out I forgot to give. J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The perpetual is the best part of every one of those movies. Yes.
dude nailed that character. Yeah. Of all the characters, yeah, that was all the way through.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Ali, I'm looking forward to it. I didn't think I was going to be, but they went all the way back to like the original Spider-Man, so he's not even pouting about Mary Jane yet. He's with Gwen Stacy and him being in high school. And
well, technically in the comic book, I don't think he met Gwen Stacy till he was Spider-Man. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah,
Spider-Man
fans?
Mary Jane was the first person he met.
Is the girl, yeah.
Yeah. I'm fine with Emma Stone. I think she's a fine actress. I thought she would make a perfect Mary Jane because Mary Jane was supposed to always have been the bad girl. Gwen is the good girl. In comparison, trying to compare the two. And Emma Stone, I always thought, had that edge to her anyway. So, I thought that would have been fine as a Mary Jane, but I'm happy though with what I'm seeing so far.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see it. Originally, I wasn't, but I'm actually really, really excited to see it. In the back of my head, though, there is that, in Spider-Man 3, I kind of would have loved to see, Sam Raimi do one more. Just to kind of make right for Spider-Man 3. But, unfortunately, how studios think, I'm pretty sure everybody knows the story. Everything was a go for Spider-Man 4. And then all of a sudden, the studio decided, nope, we're not going to go that direction. We're going to totally reboot it. And Sam Raimi was like, nope, don't want to be a part of that. So, but, but yeah, like I said, it looks amazing. I've read a couple reviews, and they all say it's a very good movie. So I'm excited to see which way we're gonna go with it. Hopefully I get the same amount of excitement I got when I saw the original Spider-Man in the theaters way back in 2002.
Yeah. So that's our discussion for the Spider-Man trilogy and lead up to the Amazing Spider-Man. So, before we end, you want to say something?
I want to say make sure that you do your review.
Yep. Oh, that's right. I saw Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter over the weekend. I'll give a quick review without spoiling anything. Basically, it's Abraham Lincoln's life with vampires injected in it. So, of course, vampires are injected into the history of the United States and the South. And basically, like, the vampires are running the South. And the slaves are being used to be fed on. And Abraham Lincoln, his mother is killed by a vampire when he's a young lad. And he wants revenge on whatever the vampire's name is. And then he meets this guy who trains him how to hunt and kill vampires. So we get to follow his career as he moves somewhere in Illinois. And he works in a shop for, I forget what type of shop it is. And so he works the shop by day and kills vampires by night. And the guy that trains him sends him these postcards where he can go and find the vampires to kill. And basically, I'll end it by saying, you know, it was a nice summer, typical summer, you know, movie, something to pass the time. I'd give it a 3 on the click rating scale. It kept me entertained. And the last thing that, of course, I remember from it is thinking, you know, I sat here for an hour and a half and watched Abraham Lincoln kill all these vampires, but then I'm supposed to believe he got taken out at a play by some random assassin when he's right. Chopping vampires in half with his silver-laced axe, trusty axe.
His mighty axe of silver.
Exactly.
Well, that's based upon a book, and I'll just say you'll have to look at the book or read the book because they
explain the assassination.
Yeah, they explain the book because one of my coworkers put me up on that one because he was into Abraham Lincoln vampire killer and zombies, and I think it was Zombies and Prejudice.
Yeah, Jane Austen.
He was into those, and he put me up on Abraham Lincoln. But I haven't read in a long time. But they explain how they pretty much got the drop on him to shoot in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess we can state he was older. So.
Yeah, but still, It may be good to look at the movie and read the book, or else you'll probably just be disappointed as always. So,
oh well.
Well, anyway, I'm just gonna. I never finished the book, so I'll just do the movie. What's your rating on it, Tim?
Middle ground 3. It entertained
me. Middle ground
3.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. We may be able to see it, but it'll probably be headed out of theaters after a while, especially after the first weekend.
Yeah.
So with that, before we end the show, we actually have some listener feedback to read for once.
Listener feedback.
We have two emails, and I'm also going to go back through our Twitter stream and read some of the tweets that we've gotten throughout the week. So first, the previous episode was our Prometheus review, and one of our followers on Twitter and listener, at CarbonShadow004, he went and watched Prometheus on Friday night, and he gave us some tweets on Saturday morning to give his opinion. He said, "I enjoyed the film, but there were some pacing problems in the middle once it got going. I think they hit the brakes too hard. Overall, I would say 3.5 to 4 stars maximum. I think the scientists were delusional and the giant people were just people." And of course, the only person that's seen the movie gets those references and laughs. So that's good. Well, Jetstream knows what he's talking about. So yeah, thanks for sending us the tweets, CarbonShadow004. Yeah, keep sending stuff to us and we'll make sure to keep reading them. Let me go back through. I think that was mostly what I wanted to read from the Twitter stream. My buddy John, he asked, should he watch Prometheus before listening to episode 13? And I told him, nah, because it's a spoiler-free review.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jetstream did a good job on that.
Yes, sir.
So that's from Twitter. And let me pull up the email. First one is from loyal listener, Get Off My Planet. Okay, guys, listening to you on the Code Slither podcast, and I have a whole back's worth of quote-unquote collage. Oh, this is, I think on the previous episode we were talking about, like, we must have been talking about people with tattoos.
Yeah, the collage chicks. Yeah, that's the old one.
Yeah. Okay, guys, listening to you on the Code Slither podcast, and I have a whole back's worth of collage, and I'm not a stripper, but I'm white. But I'm white, so is that okay?
No. Emoticon
with the tongue sticking out. Here's a pic of my back, and most of the rest of my tattoos can be seen on my TwitPic page.
Yeah, I saw it. I don't care.
Hi, TimDog98. Thank you.
Stop telling your women calling him, man. I ain't got women emailing us no more.
That's one of your chicks, ain't it, dude? We know.
Loyal listener of the Code Slither podcast and the...
Loyal listener, and sometimes Tim Dog jump off.
Yeah, that's just, she can't come by the kennel no more. She ain't going to the kennel.
She is married, people.
Oh, okay.
And I've lost my email all right. for a minute.
That was funny then.
That whole,
shut us down.
Yeah, I must say, shut all that down. Thank you, Rachel. And the last one is from Code Slither podcast co-host Classic Material. And it starts off ... Oh, I guess I have to read the subject. This podcast you guys have is everything I wanted the Code Slither podcast to be! Great discussion, fantastic guests, funny stories, movie review, comic book talk, pro wrestling, TV shows. Man, it's like y'all live on my block, but really you don't. The magic of modern podcasting technology. Tim is a promising young host who will only get better with each episode. His brother, the Adam Black, gives some great opinions and keeps the show level. But where the show really shines is with the two wild and crazy personalities on the set, Leroy Jetstream and Mr. Banff. I've never laughed so hard than hearing their stories or their infamous rants. I feel like I'm now a part of the Click Nation crew and look forward to many more shows. If you keep this up, I'm Quinn, the Code Slither podcast, to join you guys full time. Shotgun. Peace, classic. Appreciate that, buddy.
That was nice of you.
Yeah.
That was definitely
Thank you,
nice,
sir.
Man.
You old magnificent bastard, you.
All the kind words. Yes, what we call it, an honorary member of the clique.
Yeah. Yes, he is. And Annie has an awesome show, especially with who we had on last week, Tim, Slim J.
That was Eclectic on his show.
That was Eclectic?
Yeah.
No, Classic does the universal greeting, right?
Yes, the Bonnie, whatever.
He gets pops on just saying that. Bam, like.
Right.
He knows I could barely get it out.
Yeah, I can't even remember what it is. I just know it's a universal greeting from Transformers the movie.
That's right. It's Ba Weep Grana Weep Ninny Bomb.
Ba right. Weep Grana Weep Ninny Bomb.
That's right, bitches. Transformers for life.
And classic of the he's a big Orbots fan also.
Yes, he is.
Oh yeah, special shout outs to Kojak Delta. Cause he hit me up about the Autobots, and he hit me up about Prometheus.
Yeah, Prometheus.
That I'm a really big really Scott fan, and yeah, I am.
Yeah. Coach at Delta, he hits me up on Twitter. It's like, and he hit me up and said, I think he has like three HD TVs and two DVD players.
Oh, whoa.
Dude. Dude.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't ever tweet me that shit again.
Making you jealous, huh?
Yeah, making me jealous. But you got three HD TVs. But that DVD player shit, dude, really? Okay, dude, yeah.
Oh, he doesn't have a Blu-ray player?
Yeah, he ain't got no Blu-ray player, dude. Oh. We might have to take a collection.
Yeah, Kojak, man. You got to work on that. Even I got one now.
I'll talk to him about it.
Okay.
Talk to him.
Kojak's a good dude. Yeah, he hits me up, too.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Kojak,
yeah, we need to help him out with that one. Dude.
We might have to take up a collection for you, bro.
So, of course, if you ever want to get some of your feedback read on the show, make sure to tweet us at TheClickNation or send us email like Get Off My Planet and Classic Materia did, theclicknation@gmail.com.
Oh, I did want to give one reply that was on the podcast page for the Aliens versus Click Nation.
Oh, that's right. I said I was going to start reading feedback from the comments because people actually leave comments on our
post. Yeah.
You got it up?
Yeah, I got the one from your friend, John.
Yes.
He said, first thing he had put was, man, best podcast yet, fellas. That Aliens audio got me all hyped. Tim Dahl reports replied, get hyped, son. And John replied, as far as Alien versus Predator, hot ass, maggot ass shit. How do you take a movie series with all R ratings, combine it with another movie series with all R ratings, and come up with a PG-13 movie? That fact alone should get you how bad that movie was going to be.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Exactly. John, you're a smart man. I like to get
Yeah, I named him an honorary. He's a West Coast Click Nation member affiliate.
Oh, fantastic.
He's out in I want to say Seattle, but at least somewhere like Washington area.
Right.
He's way out there. Yeah, Click Nation West. We're like Titans East and Titans West.
You know what I'm saying?
Click Nation South.
Yeah, Click Nation South. That's us.
SOF. Oh, SOF.
South.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was out here in Georgia when we were in high school, and I guess moved out there after graduation or whenever.
Well, at least we know we got a place to stay. We need to go out there and visit one day.
Exactly.
Of course, Kirsten says goodnight, y'all, as she goes to bed.
Good night, Kirsten.
Good night, Kirsten.
Good night, youngest member of the clique.
They said good night. The Cold Slither podcast on the episode 11, From the Bit Screen to the Animation Room. Hooray for Police Academy. Surprisingly enough, it was an R-rated flick that did work as a kid's cartoon, probably because of the various type of zany characters in it. Humor was so goofball that if not for the adult aspect, it would have been the world's most popular kids movie. In fact, I was definitely underage when I saw the first three or four Police Academy films. Tatas, that's from the Cold Slither podcast.
Yeah, we all were, though.
Yeah. I know. I don't remember seeing Police Academy 2, I believe. And yeah, I was definitely not.
I probably wasn't supposed to see Police Academy until like probably was it 5? They kept going when they stopped.
Man, my mom didn't give a damn. She let me look at whatever the hell. She ain't care. Close my ass.
You know what? That's true though. Because back then HBO was like a national treasure, a treat. Like wake them up, get them out of bed. Like with Santa Claus or something. Like, you got to see this. It's cable.
You know, so. Yeah. I saw a whole bunch of shit I probably shouldn't have saw until I was, like, 18.
Yeah, we turned out fine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
All right. Adam Zarkowski just said on the episode 9, the TV show Graveyard, he was surprised that Breaking Bad finally got the axe. And he thought it was massively popular, but it was just mainly, Breaking Bad was just, it's coming to an end. They were deciding to, close it off. And, that could be a idea for a show talking about Breaking Bad.
Who here watches that?
I mean,
I do.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, y'all can talk
about it.
It
could be.
Two out of four ain't bad.
Yeah, but I say, as long as two people watch it.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. If I missed anyone, appreciate the comments, especially the comments. Definitely, we want the tweets to keep coming, and the comments and the emails to keep on coming.
Thank you. So, quick shout outs, of course, to the Cold Slither podcast, Classic Materia. Follow him on Twitter @ClassicMateria. @Eclectic, and make sure to check his podcast out, the Eclectic Discussion Podcast. Both shows are on Stitcher Radio and iTunes. The Underscoop Fire crew, check them out on Stitcher and iTunes. General Geekery, I believe his podcast is on Buzzsprout. Cold Slither podcast contributor Claymation Howell. At Claymation Howell is his Twitter name. That's about all the shout out. Of course, to all the loyal listeners, you know who you are. Any shout outs for the fellas that y'all want to give?
I wanted to give a shout out to my name is Zartan on Twitter, at Operation Cube on Twitter, and St. Walker 191.
St. Walker.
And of course, David Mac 90, the black guy who tips. Of course,
Shout out to Operation Cubicle because I think I'm guesting on there July 22nd.
Awesome. Sunday. Oh, cool.
Yes, I got an invite.
Yes.
That'll be fun.
Our boys nationwide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Since you're shouting out listeners, Tatum 216 and Big Ben. I am Big Ben 87.
Oh, Nick, yeah.
You.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Oh, and I was reading on Twitter the other day. I am Ben. He was at the barbershop and saw this kid's head, and the description was like the most fucking hilarious thing I've ever read in my life. But yeah, like I said, I have no shout outs this week. Oddly enough, isn't that great? That's crazy. But classic. We got to get together, dude, so we can do this Orbot show. We got to do this Orbot show. And one of these days, I actually will show up and guest appear on the Coast of the podcast. Hopefully, my job will allow me to do that one day.
One day. Oh, and also, shout outs to William B. West on Twitter. He's always asking me how he can listen without having to go through iTunes or Stitcher. Because he doesn't like either.
The website, dude.
You can stream it, you can play it in the browser, or download and play it later.
Do whatever you want to do, dude. Just listen.
Yeah, just listen. Leroy Jetstream, any shout-outs?
No, shout-out to Kojak Delta for listening. Everybody who listens. Also, everybody out in the Twitterverse, special shout-out to you guys. I've made a lot of new friends with the new moniker of Leroy Jetstream. And just shout out to all of you guys. I'm not ignoring you. I'm not trying to follow like Mr. Bam for not tweeting. It's just that I forget to tweet. Because I want to tweet some, but I forget about it.
That's my shtick. I don't tweet.
He doesn't tweet. I just forget about it. It's, you know,
but like I said, hey, you might get the tweet of the week. You never know.
But I tweet, so make sure to follow me.
Bear with me, people. I'm going to start tweeting.
Yeah, tweet to him.
Yeah, tweet me or tweet at the Click Nation.
Well, that's Tim. That's Tim Dog's hustle, though.
Yeah. Hey, that's where I round up listeners. It's Twitter
and tweet Facebook. Tweet us.
And now people, listeners, find me on Facebook, which is nice. But shout out to Terrence. Was it Terrence? Let me find his at name so I get it right. Terrence Brown 56. Another nice listener. So, with all that, I want to thank everyone for listening to this edition of the Click Nation podcast. And when you listen to us next week, because you listen to us every week, but when you listen next week, we'll get into news and reality check, hopefully some more listener feedback, and we'll give a review on The Amazing Spider-Man. So this is the Click Nation, and we are signing off.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay-ass accent, them cheap-ass cigars, your yuck-mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
the bad boys are wrestling. Just in competition when the war does their mission. Not no mercy, see the race like a street. If you don't know, you better find out the war pack. It'll prove a point. Number one, best believe that you don't want to tussle with them. I'll be there for them. Come in the ring with them, you're never walking out again. Don't turn your back on the war pack. Turn your back on the war back. You might wind up in a body bag.